So this last week, I was looking at some old videos of our church on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, you really can find pretty much anything if you're willing to look for it. And as I came across this video, it was about 7.5 minutes. It was one of these kind of general sort of welcome, you know, visiting our church for the first time, seeing about the ministries, you know, the people of First United Methodist Lakeland. And I thought it was such a neat sort of time travel back to the church. So I just want to share with you some of the clips. I snipped some of these off of YouTube, and some of them you might recognize if we have them here on the screen. You'll be able to see these, too, for those who are worshiping with us online. So this first one is Reverend Sue Hopper Johnson, who is now Bishop of the North Georgia Conference. And here she is preaching here in the sanctuary. The next one is of Marissa Gertz, who used to be one of our youth. She will be ordained as an elder this summer, right here in the sanctuary, as part of annual conference. So this is her at a youth event that's in our campus. It's in our F building. And then lastly, we have this whippersnapper here. And they grow up so fast, don't they? But it was a great reminder. This video was back in 2009, and it was just a great reminder of not only how we are sort of continuing that language, the spirit of what was offered in this video of welcoming and invitation, but just to remember, you know, even obviously farther back than 2009, how this church has been such a bright, shining example of love and acceptance for the community and even farther. And just thinking about all of the lives that have been changed and impacted over the years, not just in this video, but also those who maybe we don't even have a photo or an image of, but we know them. We know their story, and they know the story of this church. And so as I was thinking about that, as we are in this new phase of strategic planning, so part of this message series, part of the Easter season, is to share with all of you so that you, too, are part of the strategic planning of this next phase that we are going into as First United Methodist of Lakeland. We are looking and we are listening, discerning about where it is that God is calling us into this new season. And so as we are coming back, as we are starting again, we are seeing that this is a great opportunity, not only for us to continue, but also, of course, for us to change and to transform. Now, this, of course, is not just changing for the sake of change. It's not just doing it to shake things up. But we are also acknowledging that we are in a new time, a time that we were not in when we had that last worship service publicly all those months ago. That as we are coming back, as things are starting again, as we are re-engaging, we are realizing that we need to now speak to the needs of both the community, but also to all of us here. Because even though we are going back, there are still some things that are new, things that we are just discovering now for the first time. And so there is a huge amount of need that we are called to continue to respond to, that we need to try to anticipate, but at the very least, that we need to make sure that we are in the midst of as we see it happening. I remember when I was about 12 or 13 years old, I think, I went to the movies to see the latest film adaptation of Dracula. Now, for me at that age, Dracula was about as scary as you could get in terms of, you know, darkness and evil and all of that scary stuff. And so the idea of the character Jonathan Harker being trapped in Dracula's castle, that was absolutely terrifying to me. And so there's this great scene in this particular movie when he escapes and he's trudging through, you know, the dark Carpathian Mountains and, you know, it's raining and he's all alone, he's scared. And as he pulls himself up from the rocks, he looks in the distance and he sees this convent. And he knows it's a convent because in the darkness of the building is this bright, shining cross. And I remember I was not a church kid at this time. My parents, my family and I had not started going to church, so I kind of had, you know, general ideas of God and theology of all of that. But I do remember thinking, you know, what it must have been like for someone like this man to escape such evil and to be so isolated and cold and alone and to see that cross. And even in my mind, I felt him saying, I'm saved. I'm saved. What must it be like to find a place of salvation? Because the reality is, many people are running from something. Now, it might not be vampires, it might not be monsters, but it is a darkness of some kind or another. And so many are exhaustively desperate to find that place of salvation, of sanctuary, of home. Now, when I say salvation, of course, I'm not just talking about the kind of, you know, avoid hell, fire insurance kind of salvation. Because the truth is, there are many, too many, who are already experiencing that here and now. We personally may know what that is like. And we need to know that is not all there is. There is something better. There is home. Growing up, my sanctuary was my grandparents' house. No matter what chaos was going on in my life, no matter how uncertain things became, no matter how lost or isolated I would feel at times, I knew that every single time I would go there, I would be welcomed, and I would be accepted, and I would be loved simply for who I was. That, for me, was an incredible source of salvation. I believe that our church has the gift and the purpose to be that kind of sanctuary and salvation. And not only for us who are gathered here now, whether it's physically or online, but to also be that source of sanctuary, of salvation, of hope to so many who are looking for a place to belong. That no matter whatever chaos may be going on in our lives, this place, and more importantly, the people, are that assurance of God's love and acceptance. I believe the future of this church is to let our entire community know that the doors are always open and that they are always welcome. And I know that has been our motto, that has been our calling, that has been our proclamation probably from day one. And so perhaps the added emphasis now, as we are entering into our lives, as we remember them, as we are coming back, as we are restarting and reengaging, maybe the more outgoing and expressive message is that not only are we a place, a church, a community that is welcoming others in, but we are also welcoming the possibility of being changed by the very people we are inviting, that we are welcoming, that we are serving with. We are willing to be transformed by others. We welcome, we encourage, we empower, but we also listen. We listen to their stories. We listen to their experiences, their perspectives. And not only do we listen, but we also allow their words, their stories, to impact our own, to change our own point of view, to see things we had not seen before, to be affected by what we hear. Because if this is truly going to be their home as well, we have to allow them to make this church their home. Which means not only do we welcome the people, we also welcome the change. Now, we, of course, have already been going through a lot of changes. Some we are still experiencing even a year later. Some we have just learned about today. Others we know are approaching. It can seem like a whirlwind which will never stop. I know for me, every time I hear about one of these changes happening, it makes me feel like I'm on one of those tilt-a-whirl rides. You know, the one that you think you're used to the direction, then all of a sudden it sort of snaps and puts you in another one. One of my son's favorite rides at Disney World is the teacups. And one of the things I have appreciated about the pandemic is we have not been able to go to Disney World, which means we have not had to go on the teacup ride. And for me, I was thinking about this the other day. It is though, you know, the good part of this pandemic is finally I can get off the teacups. But now as everything is restarting again, now that everything is kind of reengaging, as everything is spinning, I feel as though I'm getting pushed back into the teacups. Sometimes we may feel like the only thing which has not changed in the midst of everything else is our church. And I know for many of us that is a sense of comfort. It is a sense of stability. That even though everything else around us is changing and it seems to be out of my control. At least my church remains the same. And so anytime the word change or transformation is offered, it can be met with a sense of nervousness or uncertainty or feelings of loss. You may have seen the Gallup article last month that church membership in the United States has finally fallen past 50%, the first time in 80 years. Now, that might seem like a cause for panic or despair, further proof that the church is dying, one more thing that we will lose. But as I was reading through this article, I found myself thinking of other things, wondering, what if this is telling us something else? What if this is telling us something other than people are bored with us, or that we've become irrelevant, or everybody else has their priorities wrong, everyone else is lazy? What if instead this is telling us that there is a need, there is a calling we must respond to? What if people are telling us that they need something more than just what we are currently comfortable with? Maybe even what we are comfortable being. What if, like the Canaanite woman approaching Jesus, we need to stop proclaiming and start listening? Now, for those of us who may be already familiar with the Canaanite story, I find this one of the, if not the most difficult stories in the gospel to read, to think about, to pray over, to digest. It is incredibly difficult for me, and how Jesus responds in this story. Many of us may be familiar with the practice Lectio Divina. It's a very ancient practice in which you take a particular piece of scripture and you read it several times. And in those experiences, you allow yourself to focus in and connect with a particular word or phrase that might speak to you. Now, for me, this is almost like an inverted Lectio Divina, because the words and the phrases which speak to me are the ones that I find the most harsh and the most difficult to admit, to allow myself to listen and ponder on. And so as I read this passage, I'm only going to read it the one time, but I invite us to open our hearts, our minds on what those passages might be, even if it is the difficult ones. Jesus went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, son of David, O Lord. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But Jesus did not answer her at all. Jesus, the one who, in an incredibly populated crowd, was able to sense a person touch the very hem of his robe. And his disciples came and urged Jesus, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting at us." The same disciples who said to Jesus on a mountain, "These people have been listening to you all day, they're tired, they're hungry, send them all away so that they may eat." And Jesus' response is, "No, you give them something to eat." This time, Jesus answers, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," who at other times says, "I am here for the poor, for the hungry, for the sick, for the thirsty, for the naked, for the imprisoned." But the woman came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus' answer, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This woman breaks all kinds of barriers: social, theological, eschatological, All of these expectations come from this person who has been labeled a Gentile, which means a non-Jewish person. Her own people would have been just as shocked as the disciples seem to be in this time, conversing with another group of people, conversing with another person who is not a part of their society, proclaiming to be the Messiah, using words and titles like Lord and Son of David. But she is in such need for her daughter to be healed, who is tormented. She desires the mercy of God so much, this God who she has heard about, that she is willing to do whatever it takes to help her child. But perhaps more than that, she sees and she connects with something that her people do not, and arguably the disciples at this time do not. But perhaps most of all, she does not let Jesus' words stop her. Often we focus just on this woman's determination, her openness to receive God's mercy. We focus on her faith, and that is all true. It is all powerful. But I want us to do more than just look at this woman's faithfulness. I want us to focus on the fact that Jesus Christ turns someone away. Because we tend to gloss over this part. We tend to gloss over the reality. Jesus says, "What I have to offer is not for you." Here we see this stark example of the Jesus we proclaim to follow, who we say loves all. Red, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Except here, first he ignores this woman, and then he rejects her. So what are we to do with this Jesus? Might this be a part of the reason so many have chosen not to be a part of the church? Because so often they see the church as unwilling to tackle and work through these tough questions, these hard stories. If we truly want to reach out and to welcome in, we have to be prepared to also reach in and welcome these stories, these questions of difficulty, of challenge, and celebrate when the gospel story works, but not to be afraid to push away, to not be afraid not to push away the times when it sounds like, well, maybe they don't work. But of course, part of that strength is also to continue going on through the story. Because the story doesn't stop there. The story goes that in this woman's persistence, Jesus stops talking and starts listening. And in the midst of listening to this Canaanite woman's faith, her story, her perspective, Jesus changes. Jesus Christ, God incarnate, whom we say is the same yesterday, today, and forever, changes his mind. He allows himself to be impacted and affected by someone else, and thus he alters his ministry. He alters his mission, he alters his practices, he alters his perception. Jesus shows us that change is possible even for God. And so reaching out and welcoming in means that we have to be ready for the possibility, even probably the likelihood, that we will be impacted and affected, changed, transformed by the very people we say we want to welcome in. That others will give us new perspectives, maybe even new directions, and that is okay. That is part of what we have discussed at every single coffee with the pastor's gathering I have ever been to at this church. Talking with potential new members to say that when you join, it is not just about you taking in what it is that we have to offer, but you are coming in with your gifts, your experiences, your prayers, your presence, your service, your witness, that in all of that, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That in the midst of this, a transformation is going to take place, making this church even better than it was before, because now they are a part of it. As Pastor Melissa was saying earlier, at our 8:15 service, we had a baptism. We actually had two baptisms at the same time. And part of what Melissa reminded us is that the congregation is not there just as a spectator. It is not just a time of witnessing. It is a time of recovenanting. It is a time of transformation. And we say that every time we welcome a baptism, every time we welcome a new member. We speak into that covenant of transformation, saying, we are not the same as we were before you came into our lives. Because you have come into our lives, we are now different. In fact, we are better because of you, because of what it is you will have to offer, and thus we become a better church. Some of the key strategies that the planning team has been discussing in terms of outreach, in terms of covenant, and in terms of transformation involve the possibilities of holding church events at other communities, different locations around the city, participating in cross-cultural and interrelational and interracial worship services with other churches, having and creating more fresh expressions throughout Lakeland, becoming more actively involved in the Bishop's Anti-Racism Task Force. Those are big, broad ideas, but it is also simple things. Like at our outdoor worship service, people who walk along or are riding their bikes or driving by, and we notice them stopping, or at the very least slowing down. And some don't just go past. They stay. And they experience. And then we have the honor and the gift of being able to talk with them afterwards. Because it's not just the service that we see that they are connecting with. It is also the people. More importantly, it is the people. I remember this one time this lady was staying who we had not ever seen before. And so after the service, some of the folks were already talking with her. And so I think all of the pastors at that point had a chance to talk with her one-on-one. And she was telling us about how she had just happened to take a walk around the lake. She didn't live anywhere in this area, but she was going through a time of challenge and struggle through the pandemic, she and members of her family. And she just kind of found herself walking almost aimlessly and found herself here at the church while worship was happening. She said, I connected with the church and I connected with the people, and it was such a blessing because I didn't know what I was going to do that day. I don't think this story of Jesus and the Canaanite woman is meant for us to discover a clean solution wrapped up in a bow for anything that's going on in life. But I do believe it helps us to face the reality that sometimes we can be too focused on a certain direction that we might miss how a new path could also be a new way to offer God's mercy, both to individuals and communities we have not ever met before, but also remind ourselves that we can be a part of that mercy as well. Even if Jesus himself needed to be reminded that God's mercy was for all, it can also remind us that there is hope for all of us to be reminded of that new direction that we need to take, and that we are offered that second chance to live into that transformation. And when we allow ourselves to listen, when we allow ourselves to change, to be changed, we discover that we are not only reaching out to the needs of others, but they make us a better church, a better community, and a better version of God's people. And so when we do this authentically, when we open ourselves up to the possibility of transformation, we become an even brighter, shinier symbol of hope, of grace, of love, of acceptance, of sanctuary, and salvation to all who are looking for it. Because when they come here, when they find here, they not only find sanctuary, but of course in our hope, they will also discover God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we acknowledge the challenge that often comes with change, with new possibilities, with transformation. We acknowledge the need that we have in our humanity to just simply be able to sit in a place of comfort, to know that the acceptance you offer is for us, and that sometimes it can be hard to leave that warm center of embrace and acceptance to go back out into the world to offer it to others. We acknowledge that change is difficult. We even confess at times that it is not exactly what we want. But as you are leading us into this new season, this season of resurrection, help us to truly be the embodiment of love and acceptance and service. That as you call us to go forward, we do not do this alone. We do so together. Help us to be open to the stories that we hear, that those who we impact also impact us, O God, so that we are not doing ministry for, we are doing ministry with, that we may truly be siblings in Christ. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray together. Amen. I'm sure, like me, you have heard us be referred to as the big church. And maybe like me, sometimes when you hear that in certain contexts, you feel this urge to say, well, but we're more than that. To say that we're not too big and we're not too fancy for those who are looking for a church home. But I wonder if maybe in this new season, as we are restarting again, that we live and lean more into that idea to say, yes, we are a big church. And we are big enough to know that there are many who can fit within these walls. Not just physically, but spiritually. That this church is big enough and has seen so many different stories of celebration, but also of hardship. That this church and its people are big enough to hear, to listen, and to be a part of the stories of anyone in this community who is needing and looking for a place of salvation, of sanctuary, and of home. I think about that every single time I come to this church on Sunday morning. I usually get here at about sunrise, and as the sun is rising over the church, I think about how big and broad it is and how much mileage is contained in these walls, in these floors, in these ceilings, how many stories. And in fact, if we're honest, how many cracks. Now, not structurally, we're doing great, but we know that this church has contained a lot of life events. A lot of people searching for where is God in the midst of this. And the other thing that we need to remember about being a big church is that big does not mean we have it all figured out. We don't have all of the answers. We don't have things perfect. We continue to struggle. And yet this church is big enough for all of those struggles. All of us who are struggling, who are wondering, who are finding, who are searching. Yes, we are the big church. And we are big enough to welcome anyone and everyone who is looking for God's grace. And so, as the song says, Lord, we go in your humble service. We go searching for those who are looking for a place like this. That it is welcome to anyone and everyone. But you know what? It's not just about what we say. At that point, we stop and we listen and we let other stories impact our own to make our church even bigger. So may we go. Open to those stories and allowing ourselves to be changed and transformed so that we might go together as God's people. And may we go in peace. Amen.